I'm really happy to announce that it's the original five back on the show again.
Hello
again, Quentin, Malcolm, Tina, and Ahilia.
Hey.
It feels really good to be together again. I thought that it would be really interesting, since it's been a while since we've been together, for us to talk about the other side. Now, what do I mean by the other side? I think that it's pretty obvious to anybody who's been listening to us that we tend to be a little bit overly optimistic in our views and our topics. And we just thought we would let you know that, hey, we do feel a lot of frustration, we do feel a lot of fears, we do feel a lot of confusion. And sometimes when people listen to our projects, they're like, this is not going to work, that is not going to work, did you think about this? And we always try to be like, no, think of the positive.
Yeah, but there have been some obstacles for sure.
For sure, yeah.
So today is about that. Okay, let me get right to it. Since the project started, I just wanted to know, how does it feel looking back about the first days? How did you feel when you first started?
So I think I remember feeling, from the get-go, quite optimistic, if I can say that. And there was a lot of energy because we were all very fresh and green on the project. So we hadn't gotten through any negative or severely negative feedback yet. So I remember Tina and I, when we started off, we were on the questionnaire. So we were asking about, the target was 300 people. And there was the first downfall where we only managed about, like, close to 180 or something.
I don't think we reached 200.
Yeah,
let's
not
be
so. Oh, we did reach. Okay, sorry. We did reach 200 people.
Which is an amazing number, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still felt like there was a few issues with, like, how we were going about the questionnaire and if people weren't really understanding what the project really was. So we were, you know, we weren't sure about how much to share yet.
Yeah.
And I think that it caused this kind of a hype where people weren't aware of what the next steps were. So maybe we lost some momentum because of, you know, how we weren't able to properly explain the project to everyone we were asking the questions to.
Yeah, I agree with the over-enthusiastic at the beginning. I think for me, the biggest problem and what I face is consistency and keep the same amount of work, even if the energy is a bit lower. It was important for this project.
How about you, Tina? You were part of the questionnaire team reaching out to so many people. How did people respond and how were you feeling at that point?
At first, I was really excited and everything, but then there were some people that shooed me away and it felt really bad. And like Ahilia said, we couldn't really explain what it really was about because we didn't even know ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we say? Is it an app? Is it a web platform? Is it just a platform? So it's kind of confusing.
I have to admit, for me too, in the beginning, I was completely blown away by Danby's presentation of it. And then when we were sitting in the core team and I realized, wait, all the Aurovillians on board have a different plan about this project and it's not really clear what is exactly the plan with this project. And it had such a, let's take it step by step, but let's also have a direction, that I was completely lost about how to go about it. It seemed like a dream, Malcolm.
Well, honestly, I'm really just great, not to sound too optimistic on the dark episode, but I'm so...
You gotta rein that in.
Gotta turn on a smile. All right, yeah, so I was feeling... No, I'm so optimistic hearing you say that, because our questionnaire phase was just, it was traumatic. I don't think I'll ever do anything like that ever again.
So this was phase one.
That phase one questionnaire was hardcore, man. Like when they show you pictures of the old Oroville and it's no trees, you can see the ocean. Hardcore. You think you don't understand? Imagine when there were like four of us. And none of us understood.
But I think there were some great learnings from that phase one. I know it was hard. You got a lot of pushback from a lot of Aurovillians, but we definitely learned that sticking to terms like, you know, very financially, please help me out here,
yeah,
because I'm not getting the right word.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Those financial wordings with the FSM, which is feces,
yeah,
standard,
yeah,
money,
yeah,
and economy,
yeah,
and all of that. It was really putting people off, and
yeah,
suddenly we come into phase two, fresh-faced youth, a lot of excitement, not that much understanding of these concepts,
yeah,
and it had a different pitch.
I think. We learned how to package it a little differently. Yeah. We learned the importance of communicating not everything and expecting them to get deep into it. Because we wanted to inspire people. There were like four of us. So we're like, yo, and then there's a toilet. And then there's a and then there's like no money no more, you know? And people are like, yo, that doesn't make any sense what you're saying to me right now. And these questions, because of that, because we had no idea how to package it so someone could even conceive of it.
Yeah.
We had no idea how to ask the questions. Like, we wanted to get it down to like 15 questions, but the concept is so wide that it does no justice. And it sounds like, honestly, it sounds like a creepy survey when I look back at it.
And the more you get into the concept, the more aversion that Orwellians have to it, because you have to bring out all this terminology that freaks the, you know, cashless.
Let's
just not talk about money
ever.
And
we either have to invent language or use language which is already kind of
heavily
averse.
Loaded with,
we can't use the word money, you can't use the word free, all types of stuff. They hit you with everything back then.
But to summarize it, I feel like in phase one, it became clear that you can't use those terms, even though you want to dismantle what they hold. So if that was clear, we tried this fresh pitch with phase two, where it was, okay, we're the youth and we want to bring something fresh and new, and looking at also some things that became clear in phase one, skills and underutilized spaces. So I think phase two became a lot clearer that our target was narrower, even though the aim was still to reach out to the entire community. I think some of that also changed in terms of our numbers and ambition and how we wanted to approach it. I feel like that changed through the project. I wonder if anybody wants to share about that. I'm the only one who's thinking about it, right? No, I was feeling like something that changed. Okay, maybe this is just my personal take on it, but I was feeling that in the beginning, I was thinking we have to reach out to as many people as possible. And this is one of the reasons why we went for the workshop strategy, which was, okay, if we go to Youth Center, we go to European Pavilion, we go to all the places in Oroville, we can reach out to everybody. And suddenly now I'm realizing when people don't show up, it hurts, first of all. But I'm realizing there's just so many dreams out there and there's so many projects out there, and you can't get everybody on board.
Everyone sounds cooler than the last. Like, you just can't compete with the ever-growing projects that are happening in Oroville.
So do you agree with me that now it feels like we work with the ones who are interested and we work with the ones who are free, and it's not about reaching out to everybody, it's just about making that one step towards something.
But yeah, to talk a little bit more about the workshops, I think we had these like big dreams about these, you know, full rooms, 30 people.
Yeah.
And you know, just like 8 people would show up, and each would show up like, you know, one would show up on time, and then 3 more 10 minutes later,
and then
you're 4 more
to ignore
20
the ones
minutes
were
later
there already.
And it was discouraging for sure, but then you realize that the smaller group of people are the ones that are really invested and interested, and that's all you really need to carry it forward.
Yeah, baby steps to the master plan.
Yeah.
You
know?
And personally for me, it was also when it became pretty discouraging to see that you can put so much energy to try to get people there and so much energy to try to explain a concept that's actually just so simple, that it became a time where I really introspected and looked inwards, and it was beautiful to see how as a team we were growing. I don't know if you felt that, but I feel like we never had the chance to think about these things, and suddenly we're not only discussing it, we're trying to convince other people to get on board. I think that I want to talk a little bit about the platform. We used to call it the app a lot, but now we're calling it the web platform. Mm. I think personally, I didn't have too much clarity on how it would play out. Quentin, you were somebody who was right from the beginning quite engaged in it. Can you talk about what were the issues and what were the frustrations we couldn't talk out loud?
So I guess the main issues is about the way the development is happening. But basically, the Korean team that is developing the app is focusing on the international development on the of the app. So we kind of, the Orville part kind of come in the middle of the development, sorry.
It's a hard word.
And it wasn't planned, this site for Orville. So we had to deal with asking for some features specifically for Will, and faced like, no, we don't have time for that. We need to focus on the, which is logic. We cannot blame them for that. It's absolutely logic. But yeah, there is, I have, because I worked mainly on that, I have a lot of frustration on the app, but I also understand the side of the Korean development team. It's not their priority.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, in the sense they gave us a beautiful impetus to start something and look in some directions. But at the same time, there's a certain amount of how much can you contextualize it and how much should you respect the project that was brought to you, that gave you this opportunity. I just want to know for you guys, Tina and Ahelia, in terms of valuation, how it would work out and things like that, that often came up in workshops and we didn't really feel like we had answers to it. So how was that for you?
So I think in the beginning, we were quite hopeful that we would be able to, as you said, contextualize the project to Auroville. But then we realized that there are some certain stark differences. For example, the Aurovillians in the workshops had issues with the whole idea of valuation in all, like itself. Like, why do you need to valuate the offering? Like, why can't you just give it for free? But then we realize as we're going that the project has this very specific aim, you know, to kind of look at money in a very different way, and you need that medium of exchange. Mm-hmm. But as a philosophical, like,
base,
it was kind of contradictory, I don't know, in that way. And people were a bit uncomfortable. They were like, we'll use the app, but without the valuation part.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of the project. So how can you make them want to use something if they're not happy with every side of it? But that's like not our problem really, but you know, it kind of feels like something in the back of my head to make people want to use it. And
personally, this has been one of my biggest frustration, is that I mean, I understand it on one hand, because Auroville is a space where there's always somebody coming up with a very cool idea that's going to solve something, but just the fact that you put so much energy just to have people come and try something, and then they're completely in love with it, but you have to spend so much energy. Just come. Just listen. Just try it.
Yeah.
You know? And it feels a bit sad that when you have good impulses, you have to spend so much energy on something that's not even that important, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start arguing and discussing once we try out something and it doesn't work out, is what I would like. You know?
Yeah. I feel I had that a lot with the feedback on the app when we agreed. Argue with Denby and Jonas about some features, and then just recently it came out that we argue with on that feature since, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, and just like last week they told me it's not possible, for example. So I have this frustration of having put open energy about something and it's not possible.
Yeah, that was one of the core issues that we found in phase one, which honestly, if we could have written the entire 90 pages about that, it would have been that there's no plan from anyone, and we thought I think all of us, even Danby, I think when we first got onto this project, when it was first introduced to us, it was introduced in this way that there's some corporation somewhere in Korea that's got like this whole implementation plan.
It's all figured out.
We just got to go through the motions, you know, write some stuff down. And like, they got these toilets, they're going to just be sitting
the
out.
The toilets.
Right?
Trying to explain the toilets.
Yeah, like, they're just
so hard. Yes.
Yeah, the toilets alone, that was crazy. What does it do?
It's like, okay, so difficult for people to.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm explaining science fiction. It's like, okay, our step one, picture an astronaut. And then what do you do with his poop? And then it's like, okay, but now we all have poop. Anyway, but the first thing was that, there is no plan. There is no future that someone has written down that we can, you know, follow. And everything we're doing right now, we know is a mistake. We know later on we're going to have to learn from this and you just got to keep going, man. I think that's what the mother talks about with perseverance. And I've experienced it a few times, just in phase one. And I think our quote of perseverance was prepare, get ready to begin again and again, 100 times, as if you have never begun before.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like almost like it's a negative positive that we've been tweaking the way we approach this almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
That we have to keep changing because people, as humans, keep changing.
Yeah.
And it's like, literally, there is no plan. We next week, we could be doing something completely different to like approach all these people. But it's been a really amazing learning process, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that when that shift finally comes and you realize that we're all just experimenting towards something we feel is the right direction, suddenly the results don't matter so much and suddenly so many more possibilities open up. I don't know if any of you have been following, but I've been noticing that in Auroville, there's a lot more similar projects that you're suddenly hearing about. Mm. Recently, there was somebody who posted on a WhatsApp group saying that she's making two groups about, what do you call it?
Yeah, it was just like skill sharing.
Basically. Yeah, skill sharing. One is around skill sharing and one is about just help.
Items, if you need something.
Mm. So it's, again, very similar to something we're trying. And then we hear about Free Store opening a space where you can exchange items. So it feels like things are popping up and we're part of that mini shift.
Yeah, the culture shift.
Yeah, happening. And maybe we can find collaborations if you just open up your plans to just trying things. Mm-hmm. We can still try for Science Walden's valuation and maybe we get a step closer to understanding that part. But it's basically open to whatever we want to put our energies into.
But it's really interesting because the other day I was at Youth Link and I saw like this one side of the wall, it was covered with that little chits, you know, like offerings, needs. I'm like, wow, these guys are really incorporating it, you know. It was a very nice feeling to see that.
Maybe, Quentin, you want to talk a little bit about how Youth Link has adopted this and made it its own?
So yeah, after the workshop that we experienced ourselves within Youth Link, Sudipta is also part of Youth Link, so that's why we're speaking about that right now. We created with the admin team a board that showed the individual involvement into like projects. So for example, I am individually involved in the ORAS project. So you can see that for all the members, and you can see all what the members are doing for Youth Link, also the task. So you have a big picture of what's happening there between all the members. And you have on the side an offering and need board. So we want to answer this offering and need within our like units. So yeah. And we have also a part of celebration. So when an offering is done or need is fulfilled, we put that on the celebration. And we don't know yet what we are going to do for the celebration, but we plan to do it.
It's just a nice experiment that started off with something else. Mm. Yeah.
That was one of the things that made the enthusiasm remain in this project. Is it's one I've worked in. Oh God, I'm not too different from B. I think I just every day I pick up a new project. I'm like a stray dog. But I've worked in so many projects where the goodwill is there, but the openness to collaboration is not, and the thing becomes a silo and it completely just falls flat. I've worked in three recycling initiatives that honestly, if they just joined forces, it would be like, yo, just get it done. Like one of you's got the money, the other one's got the ideas, the other one's got the people. Like if you just put it together, you got it, but they just cannot. So I've really appreciated that that's at the core of this. Yeah. It's collaboration individually. It's collaboration on a project level.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's coming up next. We know that we went through a period where we were understanding the project for ourselves. We did this questionnaire where we reached out to 200 people or so. We realized that there were certain attitudinal shifts we had to deal with. So we tried workshops, maybe a bit ambitious, but still there were beautiful moments, I think, from this and a lot of learnings. And now we basically have the event, big events left, and figuring out the valuation part. So how do you guys feel about the way forward? We're gonna step into the test phase as well. I know there's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I can see everybody's faces. It's a lot.
It seems like a very momentous like mountain peak that we have to climb. But at the same time, I know this is the other side. I feel quite optimistic about it at the same time. But there's a lot to do, a lot of people to still reach out to, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we're planning to do this event with the fair, the Aura Fair, that enough people will show up. Mm. That's the main thing. I think we just need people to come because the project itself is really inspiring.
Yeah.
And we just need participation. And so that's my biggest concern right now too. Yeah. Because, you know, if you see something, there's so many flyers that I've seen over the years and I've not gone to one single one of those events.
Yes, exactly.
I just realized that me as a person, I know what I'm like. I'm afraid that the whole world is like me, you know? It's just so really scary.
I'm going to no butterfly barn, man.
I know. What an amazing place. I've never been there.
Yeah. He's doing all my favorite things, but I never go.
So yeah, participation for me is like a big thing about what the next month is going to be like.
For me, it's I'm not very worried about the number of people that come to the Aura Fair, for example, but more after, when people, I'm not worried that we get enough people to go through the fast test and have a good enough number of
offering
mass critic. Mm-hmm. I'm just afraid that it's going to die 1 week after, you know? Mm-hmm. That it's not going to, like, keep
it's
going.
It's true that we have had really good response during the workshop, but I'm a little bit afraid about the follow-up. Yeah. There's been a lot of measures that we've tried to put, like setting a date, setting a time, putting it like a commitment. We can put as many measures, but if people don't do it further than that, then there's nothing much we can do. So yeah, that's a big...
And it's not something you can really anticipate, unfortunately, so you have,
we'll just have to see.
Stress until it happens.
Plan for the best. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, so I've been working with so many organizations and everything, but then there's a point where we all, like, disagree with each other, where the whole energy is down, and then it breaks up like that, you know? But I feel like with this team, it's like a little family, you guys. If one person is down, the whole team is with them. They got their back.
Sometimes we're all down at the same
time. Also, yeah.
And then we're all together in our downness.
It's so nice. Yeah, and we're all really motivated towards it. Like, it's crazy.
I'm really sorry. It just seems like we can't keep the optimistic side
out
of us.
Yeah.
We try to bring out all our frustrations, but this is where we're at.
We're not radio personalities. Like, we're human beings. You know? Yeah. Yeah, we get some dark days, man.
Yeah,
but that's what perseverance. Honestly, hopefully that's inspiring to anybody who's looking. Is that we're human beings
and we're trying.
Yeah.
Also, it's just amazing how you, Dambi, and Valentin Lucrezia have so much faith in me and Ahilia because we're like so young. We don't have
qualifications whatsoever.
No, we've never taken economics as a subject, and then like. All of a sudden, we're in a project related to
alternative
thanks
economy.
Thanks for bringing that up, Tina, because this is actually going to be the next topic of our podcast, where we're going to be looking at the five beautiful ladies of the workshop team.
Woo!
And talking about what was the origin, how has it been working as a team, and how has it been facing the many people who did not show up, and the people who did.
Can I say something before we're ending? So we talked today about the dark side, but I really want to acknowledge and thanks Danby and Jonas and the Science Weldon team. And
I think their teamship is like next level.
They are so good at what they do.
Thank you very much for listening to us. See you guys next week for a podcast on workshops. And thank you for listening. And bye-bye to my special favorites because we started this awkward podcast together.
Ciao.
Ciao for now.
The energy just shot up with the ciao for now.
I got a pizza.
When it's ending.
We go.